A little bit different than we normally do on Sunday morning, but there's some things I think that can be a help to you today in this thought here. Psalms chapter 96, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we start this new year, Lord, we have a desire to have the best year in the Lord that we've ever had. Lord, that we have a desire to be closer to You, and Lord, that we have a desire to want to just declare Your glory, and Lord, that through our lives, and Lord, that we can live a life that will actually speak to other people, not about us, but Lord, about what You've done for us and what You've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So their theme for this year, now I didn't have that font, but when I put it down on this computer, it changed my font. My font was a lot cooler than that. So it's Declare His Glory. And it's the thought here that we're going to look at is Declare His Glory. The first thing I want you to think about for a second is, you know, let's define the words. And you think about this word declare, it means to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly to others. So what the Bible is saying here, you can see this phrase that's found in verse number 3, declare His glory among the heathen, is referring to those that do not know Christ. So in this idea that we're supposed to declare, we're supposed to make known, we're supposed to tell explicitly, to manifest and communicate plainly to others something. And what we're supposed to do is to talk about the glory of God. Now, this word glory is a little bit different, a little bit more interesting when it comes to meaning different things. But in the reference of this verse here, it's talking about His magnificence, His great beauty, the splendor of God that can be seen in everything, but especially here in this passage of Scripture when it says, declare His glory among the heathen, it refers to His salvation and His redemption. So this year in 2017, what we're hoping to do, and what I'm asking God to do in my own life and our church's life, is that we would make known the glory of God, that we would explicitly tell others and manifest and communicate plainly to others the glory of God, the beauty of God, the magnificence of God. And there's a lot of different verses we're going to look at today to try to help us that, but we're going to stay in the book of Psalms. If you'd like to, you can take your Bible to Psalms chapter number 19. And Psalms 19 is a very familiar verse. Probably most of you know this verse. In Psalms 19, it refers to the fact, it says, the heavens declare the glory. Now, when I was looking for a picture for our banner that you'll see up in the second half of the afternoon service, I saw a lot of different pictures that just declare, the heavens declare the glory of God. There's some beautiful pictures. And there's some beautiful sceneries. When you consider the world that God has made, it just says that the heavens actually declare the glory of God. It's not supposed to look like that. So, and you know, there's just beautiful pictures. When you look at the heavens, you can consider the sunrises and you consider the sunsets. And even here when it talks about the psalmist here, when it says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no nor language, where there is voice is not heard. So I want you to consider today the heavens. They declare the glory of God. You see the beauty that's there, and you consider the beauty of the stars and the planets, and you consider all the different things. The Bible tells us to consider the heavens. It says here that the heavens, they make known. They tell explicitly of the beauty of God. They declare the beauty of God. They declare the glory of God. They declare the power of God. And if you look in these verses, it says the heaven declare the glory of God. And the firmament show His handiwork. Now look at verses 2 and 3. He says, day unto day utter speech. It's saying that every day, in and day out, when you see the heavens and you're reminded of the creation that God has made and the majesty of this creation, and you see the beautiful scenes and you see the scenery and you see landscapes and you see just the amazing thing that God has created, what it does, it shows us, it utters something, it teaches us something. Just like it says, night unto night, show of knowledge. What is this knowledge it shows? Well, when you take time to consider it, it shows the glory of God. That the world and its beauty and how it's designed and how it's made declares, it clearly states the power of God. And you look what it says in verse number 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Some people struggle with this, and I understand why they would, but the Bible teaches us about it. But that the beauty of God and the creation of God can draw all people to God. That's what it's saying here, is that there is no speech nor language. There's no one that cannot see the heavens and declares the glory of God and the beauty of God. It's something that teaches and draws people to them. Even in Romans chapter 1, it talks about the invisible things and how they're without excuse because of the fact that even the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm chapter 8 is where we're going to go at next. In Psalm chapter 8, and we're going to stay for a few minutes here. In Psalm chapter 8, the Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? So I want you to, if you saw those pictures and you even consider maybe a spot that you think is, man, that is magnificent. That's, God has made that. And when you look at the stars and you're amazed by the stars, or when you're amazed by a sunrise, a sunset, you say, man, that is amazing. That declares the glory of God. But if you look at what it says in verse number 1 here, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now look at this next phrase. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. So that's not even just, that's just the tip of the iceberg. God's glory and God's beauty and God is magnificent above the heavens. It's even greater than anything we can see, even greater than anything that we can comprehend. But you go down a little bit farther, and this says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Verse number 3 is why I want you to focus on for a minute. It says, when I consider thy heavens, that's when we consider the heavens, when we ponder, when we allow them to declare the glory of God in our hearts and lives, the work of thy fingers, that's how great and powerful God is. God can do this with his fingers. Doesn't even need his fingers to do it. God can do it by just speaking it. But it's the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, as the psalmist stepped out, and he maybe was looking at a starry night out in the heavens, he thought of all God's creation, and he was taken back with the beauty. He thought of all the glory and the grandeur of God and all of God's handiwork. He thought of his own insignificance. When considering all the things that God has created and all the things that God has made, God leads him to pen these words, what is man? In the light of all God's creation, what is man that God is mindful of him? Now, it's just amazing. Sometimes we think we are so big. Sometimes we think that we are so bad. We think that the world revolves around us. But we are just something little in this universe. To show you that, I got some pictures here for you. Now, these might not be as clear, but it shows you the earth. Now, the earth is bigger than a few of the planets. So you see the sizes that are there. I am not a scientist, so if this is wrong, it's not my fault. It was on the internet. And you know, everything on the internet has to be true, right? So you see here, the earth compared to these planets, hey, look, we're pretty big stuff. But when you consider some of the other ones, we become pretty small. You see that little ball down there that says earth. That's where we are compared to them. Now, you imagine that all these different planets, and we're just one little thing on this planet. Now, let's compare it to the sun. Now, you see the sun. You saw Jupiter that was big, and you saw the other ones. You see the fourth little speck there with the air that's growing to it. That's Earth. In this universe, how big are we really? I mean, how bad are we really? I mean, really, when it comes to the scope of things and the reality, and we serve a God that declares his glory, and he deserves, in the heavens they declare the glory of God. What is man that he's mindful of him? Why would God even care about us? And you even go a step farther. We think our sun's a pretty big deal, but compared to other stars, our sun And then you go all the way back and think about where is the earth in this universe? It's so small. There's so little. And we value ourselves and we value our opinion so much and we think we're so great and so high and so mighty. But what is man? That God is mindful of us. So I'd like to think for a second, you know, what is man? When you think about it, let's consider man. We consider the heavens, because the Bible says when we, in this verse here, it talks about when we consider thy heavens in verse number 3. And we consider the work of thy fingers. And when we think of the sunrises and we think of the sunsets and the beauty that's there and we think of all the stars and all the magnificence. And when those pictures, they put me in perspective that, man, if God has created all this and his glory is even above those heavens and set above there, then who am I? Who am I to say what it is that I should or should not do or be or not be? If God can create this vast universe, let me consider myself for a minute. Let me consider man. Now you think about when you consider man, man's life is a vapor. It's short. If you consider the universe that's been here for how long, and then you consider our lives and we're there for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, even if we're here for 1,000 years, like they did sometimes in the Bible times, it's just a vapor compared to God in eternity. Bible says in James 4:14, whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Now, our lives are so small, and they're such like a vapor. Next thing I want you to think about is, man was made from the dust of the earth. You're like, well, thank you for that. Yeah, but that's what we are. We're made from the dust of the earth. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You think about it. When he's saying, look, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, we serve such a great God that he cares even about us. And he even goes a step farther, saying that about the sparrows that can't fall without him knowing. He knows all of it and cares about all of it. The next thing you think about is man was created in the image of God. And it's an amazing thought in verse Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. The God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. As a pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that man was a creation of God. I think it's the glory of his creation and the fact that he has given us, and he is giving us a living soul that will last forever. Also, man is loved by God. What an amazing thought here. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And when I consider this, what is man that thou art mindful of? That humbles me. I see athletes and movie stars and even preachers someday and other Christians that are so full of themselves that God isn't shown through in their life at all. And this story here, and this idea and this thought, when I consider the universe, and then I consider myself, why should God even care about me? But the amazing thing is, he loves me. Now, some people can't get the fact past some of the things in the Bible. Like, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. I still understand why he loves me. I know me, and I'm pretty unlovable. But he says in his word, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And also, it's important to remember that man needs a Savior. In John chapter 3, we know that famous verse, for God so loved the world. It teaches us something. It teaches us that we need a Savior. This morning, I tell you, the greatest way to start off this new year is, if you're not a Christian, is to accept him today as your personal Savior. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And you think that word, should not perish, what does that mean? It means that we are perishing. But God was mindful of us. We don't understand why he was mindful of us. We don't understand why he still loved us. We don't understand, but he was mindful of us. And even though it was in this big, vast universe, and even though he was the creator of it all, he loved us. And he knew that we needed a Savior. He loved us so much that he became man for us. When you think about his creation and you think, why would he even be mindful of us? But you look at the end of the verse, number 4, it says, and the Son of Man that thou visiteth him. It's the fact that God, the creator of the universe, his vast universe, remember, compared to the other stars, we can't even see the earth on the picture. But God said, I love you. I'm going to become man to die for you. Why? It's because we need a Savior. Look what it says in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, one of the great things, at least one of the great things about our justice system is supposed to be, you know, guilt, in that you're not guilty until you've been declared that. But we're condemned already, the Bible says. I talk to so many people that have a different wrong view. They have what makes sense in their mind. And in their mind, they're like, okay, you know what, if I do more good than I do bad, God's going to, he's going to be like Judge Judy up in heaven and tell you, yeah, you might have been stupid, but you can go free. No. God, you're condemned already. Our sin has condemned us. We are lost without him. And it doesn't matter how much work you do or how much good that you do. Without Christ, you're still lost. And that's what it says here in verse number 18, chapter 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned. It means if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are no longer condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. When you walked in this door, you were already condemned unless you know Christ. You are already headed to that horrible place called hell without Christ. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This morning, you know, what is man that he's mindful of me, but he loved me so much that he was willing to come to this world to die for my sin because I needed a Savior. So when we consider this morning, when we talk about this theme about declaring his glory, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. But we as individuals and as Christians should also declare the glory of God. Let's go ahead and go back to chapter 96 again in Psalm chapter 96, and we'll finish with these thoughts. Chapter 96, I want you to not only consider the heavens, I don't want you to also consider man. I want you to consider how man can declare God's glory. You know what? The heavens do it. The heavens do it day in and day out. The sun rises and the sun sets and we see the beauty. And when you see that and you're like, that is amazing. That is great. Look at those stars. Look at those clouds. There had to be some type of divine creator. The heavens just say it day in and day out, night in, night in. It speaks, it utters, it gives knowledge. But this is the key for 2017 for our church. At least this is what I'm praying, is that we in our lives will declare God's glory just like the heavens do. So how can I do that? I'm not as pretty as the heavens are. See, it's not about what we look like. It's about how we act. Here in chapter 96, verse number 1, I think one of the ways that we can declare the glory of God is by praising him. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. And, this is, it's a praise. It's a song. It's just singing unto the Lord. Your heart is so filled with joy and you see his glory and you understand who he is, that all you want to do is just sing out and praise him. All you want to do is just, you know what? I believe in him, and I don't care who hears me. I don't care how I sound. I just want to sing. And Mr. Paul likes to sing loud. And we were joking each other back and forth this morning. I came down and he was singing. He was like four rooms down the hallway, but I could still hear him. And then I saw him out in the foyer earlier, and later I said, was somebody dying in the back? So. But he can sing better than I can, so it's easy for me to pick on him because he sings better than me. Right, Mr. NT? He would tell you that. But you think about it. It's praising the Lord. It's praising him. That's the reason why we include songs. That's the reason why we have congregational singing. That's the reason why we our heart is just filled, and it's a new song. You know, sing unto the Lord. We should praise him. Sing unto the Lord a new song. when you're saved, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a new song. It's not going to be a worldly song. It's not going to be about you. It's not going to make you look good. It's going to sing a praise to God that says, you know what? Man, that person loves God. Or that song when, you know, like Mr. Parker was singing, consider the lilies. And he's like, we're considering him. We're thinking about him. He wants you to think about him. Let me introduce you to my friend. Let me lift him up. And when we heard the song, you know, Brother Jim and Miss Maxie were singing earlier, you know, how much they loved him. I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty song. And I was thinking, man, if they love him that much, there must be something lovely about him. And it makes me want to think about him. You know, declaring his glory can be done through praise. It can be done through song. And as we learned, and as we've been learning through the book of Luke, you know, Mary sang and Zacharias had a song there and Elizabeth had a song there. The angels had a song there. I don't think the shepherds had a song. Maybe they sang like me. But they were singing. They were praising the Lord. And one of the ways we can declare his glory is by praising the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, don't got that good of a voice. But look what the end of the verse says in verse number 1. All the earth. That's all of us. We should want to be praising the Lord. So how can we declare his glory? And we see the heavens shouting and screaming. There is a God and he is all powerful and he can do anything. But how can we get that out of our eyes? One way is by praising him. It's just by opening up our mouth and just singing and saying, you know what? He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our songs. Next thing is by proclaiming. Look what it says in verse number 3 here. Declare his glory among the heathen. So, heathen, that's a pretty strong word. What it's referencing there is someone who does not know Christ. Someone who does not know the one true God. So, we can proclaim his glory amongst those that do not know him. We can say, you know what? You look at those stars. There is a God that created those. There is no other way that this world could have just exploded on the scene when you see those stars. And you think that the earth, you know, is if we're any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we're any farther away, we'd freeze up. You know, God had to be part of that. You know, there is no other way to explain that. That had to be God, and that just declares the glory of God. But we can proclaim it to those that don't know him. So one of the ways that we wanted to declare his glory this year is by praising him, but also by proclaiming. But look at that next phrase. Declare his glory among the heathen, but see that next phrase. His wonders among all people. So you got those that are unsaved or do not know the one true God, and then it says all people. So not only are we supposed to be doing it amongst those that don't know Christ, I think we're supposed to be doing his testimonies among his own people. We should be declaring his glory amongst our people. When we get together, it shouldn't be just about the football and the basketball. We should be declaring the glory of God amongst our own people. You say, don't we do that? Yeah. Do you? Do we really praise him for how good he is? I know I'm good at complaining. Good at whining, say, Pastor, I never heard you. I says, well, I do it a lot under my breath, I guess, then, because it's just sometimes it gets busy. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. You know what? I need to learn how to declare it. What did the word declare mean? It said to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly to others. God is good. And just as the stars in the heavens say it, I need to say it too. God is good to us, and we should praise him, and we should encourage not just those that are lost. Yes, I know sometimes we go up and there's somebody who doesn't know God and I need to speak to him. Yes, you do. But I tell you, there's a church full of people that need to hear that you believe that God is good and that you love the Lord and that, you know what? You want to declare his glory. There's people in church sometimes that like to give their testimony. There's sometimes people that come up to me and, you know, they just want to talk about it. And sometimes, you know, it's an older person. You've already heard it 15, 20, 100 times. And you know what? But they're just declaring the glory of God. They're proclaiming it. They're saying, I guess want to tell somebody about it. The next thing, and this is where, for me, for this year, I don't want to just praise him in song. I don't want to just proclaim it. I need to be better at that. But I want to be by producing. You say, producing? Well, it's a P, so it goes along with the other P's, but it's producing. It's demonstrating. It's giving the fruits of the Spirit. Look what it says in verse number 2. Declare his glory among all the heathen. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. That next phrase, I love that. Show forth his salvation. In my life, I should be showing forth the salvation that God's given me. It should be evident. it's something that even in my own actions, I can declare his glory. So where do you get that from? Well, you think about it. I love the beauty of heaven. But there is nothing more exciting and nothing more beautiful than a life that God has changed. And a person that is spirit-filled and God is doing something in their life. And you can see it. And you know it. And you look at that person and says, that's a person that walks with God. That's a person who loves God. That's a person who used to be involved in all this wickedness, but now they're singing the praises of God. To me, that's more exciting than any consolation. To me, that's more exciting than any comment. But when you can show forth your salvation, show forth his salvation. He's done a work in your life, and you allow that to be shown it all throughout the Bible. And that's what we're going to look at in Sunday nights, some Sunday nights throughout the year. We're going to look at God just working through an individual's life, and you're like, wow, only God could have done that. Wow, God is getting the glory. God is getting the praise. God is getting lifted up. God is getting lifted, and they're declaring the glory of God and the majesty of God and his magnificence and his beauty. It's all in that situation. You see stories like David and Goliath, you know, when he just praises the Lord for it. You see stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar at the end's on his face, and like, there is a one true God. They're declaring his glory. You see stories, and we're going to look at different characters throughout the Bible that only God could have done that in a man's life. Nobody else would have responded that way. No one else could have done those things. You see the parting of the Red Sea, and even this morning in Sunday school class, we talked about how Moses was getting questioned when he was up on the mountain, and how they were worshiping a golden calf, and they said, well, Moses, we don't know what happened to him. And when Moses came back down, he punished them for their sin. But God says, I'll make a new nation of you. He says, no, God. And he besought him in prayer. The people who were turning their backs on Moses, and they were rebelling against Moses and rebelling against his leadership. And God says, we'll start a brand new nation with you. And they're like, God, no. He loved him. He prayed for him. He was intercessory. Who does that? Somebody is declaring the glory of God. Someone that is just saying, Lord, this is what you've done in my life. And I want to show that to other people. You think some verses that back that up. This is our theme verse for the year. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we'll look at some of those descriptions that ye should show forth. Now look at this. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. What he's saying is we should show forth the praises of God. How are we going to show this forth? In our lives. When we become and understand we're that peculiar people and that we're that holy nation and that we're that royal priesthood, we're going to show forth his praises. It's not just going to be in our voice. And it's not just going to be something we say. But instead, when people see our lives, they're going to see how we live and they're going to glorify God. You think about what it says here in Matthew. And it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, it's your good works. The salvation he has shown to you, and you have produced these good works because of what he's done in your life. You're showing forth the praises. You're showing forth the salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is producing the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And who are they going to glorify? Your Father, which is in heaven. Look what it says. It doesn't say they're going to glory in you. It says glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They're saying that you're going to live a life that is so different and so set apart that there's no way a man could do that. There's no way that could come from you. It had to come from God. And that's what we're talking about here. Declaring his glory. Now, I know we like to sing. Well, some of us like to sing. I know that we like to praise the Lord. But are we really clearly making known, explicitly, manifesting, and communicating plainly to others that we believe he's worthy of our worship? Are we truly declaring? We might talk about it. We might mention it. But is our lives truly making known the glory of God? Is our lives explicitly demonstrating the glory of God? Are we manifesting that? Are we communicating it? Are we plainly giving that view to others? I want to declare his glory. I don't know about you, in my life, and hopefully this year, as we look at different characters in the Bible, we see how God used them, and it's like, wow, God did that in that person's life. Where'd that come from? That had to be God. No, God had to be all over that, because nobody else would have done it that way. And just praise the Lord. The heavens do it. Don't get me wrong. And it's exciting. Hopefully every time when you walk outside and you see those stars and you see those skies and you see those sunrises and the sunsets, they are overwhelming. You're like, man, the world is just screaming a message here. There is a God, and he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. But then I see what I can do. Remember, the big, huge star versus the sun versus all those big planets to our little earth. How I can and you can declare his glory this year. Make it known. To the heathen, yes. But also to those that are other believers. You see at the end of that verse, in verse number 3, his wonders among all the people. The wonders he's done for you. The wonders he's done for me. It's unimaginable what he can and will do for us. It begins with salvation. It begins with understanding. As you see the glory of God, you see that God, there had to be a God, and then understanding that he loved me. And he came to this world to die for me. The creator of all this came to this world to die for my sins, to give me hope, to demonstrate his grace. Without him, you're lost. You're condemned already. This morning, if you don't know him, let me encourage you to declare his glory by believing in him and accepting his way of salvation. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed.